Which one is easier for the real Jesus? Neither. Healing or forgiving of sins. Neither are too difficult for him. They're both equally easy for him to do. For the real Jesus, he's saying, listen, I can do both, not one or the other. You don't have to pick or choose. He can save you and he can heal you.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? Since the real Jesus ascended into heaven nearly 2,000 years ago, a knockoff version of Jesus and his promises has been offered to many as an invitation. The real Jesus still promises to heal, to save, to deliver, to bless. I want to encourage you as an heir and co-heir with Christ not to settle for anything less than the real Jesus and his promises as recorded in the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, while you're making your way to 2 Corinthians, how many of you remember that game show, To Tell the Truth? It's still on today. It's on the Game Show Network. And if you don't understand how that works, show begins with the host presenting some background information on a person who has some notoriety, but they may not be so well known in the general public. The game is played when four celebrities, they form a panel. They basically interrogate these three contestants. Two are imposters, and one is the real deal. So after the time is up, the celebrity panel must guess which of the three contestants are telling the truth, and they vote, and they do so by selecting contestant number one, contestant number two, contestant number three. After the celebrities have guessed, the game show host will ask this question, and if you've seen the show, you understand what it is. It's, will the real so-and-so please stand up? But will the real Jesus please stand up? Will the real Jesus please stand up? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's look at verses 3 and 4. And I love the way the Apostle Paul starts out here. It says, but I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Remember, Paul is writing this to Christians, correct? Paul is writing this to people who, many who may have come to Christ under his ministry, through his ministry. And these are people that he has ministered to before in the past. So I think it's a very important truth to capture here before we go forward in this next verse. Verse 4, for if he who comes preaches what? Another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if you have received a different spirit, which you have not received, or a what? A different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. The church, I believe, is facing this problem. And it's not an unfamiliar problem. I mean, this was a problem that existed with the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago, and it has continued throughout church history. The preaching of another Jesus and the preaching of another gospel. Something that sounds similar, something that sounds, it's close to the truth, but it's not the truth. And that's a very dangerous message. It's a very dangerous thing to present Christ in a manner that is not who he totally is. Maybe just slightly skewed, where we have a Jesus that's created in our own image or in our own likeness. That's not the way it should be, amen? We've been created in God's likeness, in his image. And our job in through salvation is to become more and more like that image, more and more like that likeness. But what we do here in the body of Christ is sometimes we water things down. Facing a problem, the same problem the Apostle Paul faced 2,000 years ago. And it has an effect on many in the church today. Whether it's on purpose or whether it's inadvertently, I don't know, but maybe it's because of poor instruction in the Word. But people have placed their faith in another Jesus, a Jesus very different from the Jesus revealed in this word, a Jesus that is just slightly different, slightly off, some very far off. But I think for the most part, the biggest problem we face in this Jesus that is presented is one that is just slightly different from the one we see in the Word of God. Paul goes as far to say another Jesus, another gospel, one that is different from the real deal. And I believe there are significant numbers of people in the body of Christ who have put their faith in another Jesus, a Jesus who is, he's insurance, he's fire insurance from hell. Boy, nobody wants to go to hell, do they? He's a Jesus they accept to escape hell, but doesn't have the power, listen to me please, he doesn't have the power to change their lives individually. And he doesn't have the power to move in their lives personally and their day-to-day problems. That's a different Jesus. Because I think we put up with another Jesus. I think we settle for a Jesus that is secondary rather than a Jesus that is in God's Word. A Jesus that we try to explain away. Well, he said this, but maybe, you know, in my circumstance is different. No, he's either Jesus or he's not. Now, which one is it going to be today? Are we going to choose the real Jesus or are we going to settle for a knockoff? That's the question I want you to ask today. I heard this pastor preach one day to his congregation. I believe I shared this story before. Shared with his congregation, reminded them before he came to Christ, he was a drug addict. And that he used to deal drugs, sell drugs, and do a lot of drugs. And he comes to Christ. Jesus sets him free. He's no longer a drug dealer. He's serving the Lord. One day he's driving down the road. His car stops at a stoplight. A gentleman approaches the car, said, hey, you want to buy some dope? And it kind of catches him off guard. He goes, no, I don't do that anymore. And rolls up his window, drives off, and he begins to think, do I still look like a drug dealer? Do I still look like a drug addict? Maybe I need to get my hair cut. And so he's trying to figure out why this guy would approach his car and ask him why he wanted to buy dope. So he pulls over into the parking lot next to the stoplight, gets out of his car, he goes, you know what? I'm going to win this guy to Christ. I'm going to go and approach this man. I'm going to present Jesus to him. Gets out of the car, approaches the man. He says, sir, can I speak to you for a moment? And not too long ago, I was just like you, but something happened to me. Something changed me. Someone entered into my life, changed my life forever. The drug dealer looked at him and said, oh, you mean Jesus? You mean Jesus? Pastor said, yes. How did you know? He goes, the drug dealer looked over and said, oh, that's because I've already accepted him as my Savior. That's a knockoff Jesus. That's a knockoff Jesus. Are you hearing me? See, that's what I'm talking about. A Jesus that will save us, but will not change us. That's not the Jesus I read in the Word of God. I don't know about you, when I read about Zacchaeus who encountered Jesus, he said, you know what? He's a lying, thieving tax collector. But he encounters the Lord Jesus, and he goes, listen, everyone I've robbed, everyone I've stolen from, I'm going to get back. And, you know, he restores. He goes overboard, gives everything he restores to people. Whatever is left, he then gives half to the poor. And what did Jesus say? Salvation has come to this house. Why? Because there was a change. Are you following me? There was a change. See, I don't believe that when people receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're truly born again. That if they're a drug dealer, drug addict, they're embedded into that. I'm not saying there's not a process, but I'm just telling you this. If you give your life to Jesus 10 years ago, and you were a drug addict, and you're still a drug addict today, see, we'll make excuses. Well, the power of drugs, the power of the flesh. Are we saved or are we not? Are we born again or not? Does the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead live in us? See, we are too quick to call people Christians. I've said this before. I don't ever take for granted that a person is saved. Listen, I don't take for granted that every pastor is saved. Boy, this is going to be real popular today. I should have stuck with You Belong Here. That's exactly what I'm talking about, though. Another Jesus. Someone shared with this man another Jesus. He accepted another Jesus. A Jesus that would save him from hell, but not a Jesus who would change him, to transform him. I'm praying, I don't know about you, I'm praying that the real Jesus, the real gospel will be preached in our community. Because listen, it's not exclusive. We're not excluded from this. I believe there are people who attend Holt Assembly of God, whether faithfully or unfaithfully, that have received another Jesus. I believe that they're in churches all over our community, not just in our community, but all over our nation. In fact, all over the world, that have received a Jesus that is an imposter. A Jesus that is watered down, that has changed slightly sometimes, and sometimes just completely changed from the Word of God. The real Jesus, just like the game show, will the real Jesus please stand up? Real Jesus did stand up. He did stand up, and from the very beginning, he proclaimed who he would be and what he would do. So let's do this. I'm going to just point out five things today from the real Jesus, what he said he would do. This list is not an exhaustive list. This is not all that he would do. This is just some of what he would do as fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. So let's look at Luke chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 16. I hope you all are quiet because you're contemplating. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth. This is obviously his hometown, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, hey, look, Jesus went to church. Imagine that. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on Sabbath day and, look, and stood up to read. Stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. You know, a lot of Isaiah's prophecies are messianic prophecies, right? Messianic prophecies, who the Messiah would be. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Verse 20, then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, fixed on Jesus. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Scripture shared, the scripture that Jesus shared that day in the synagogue, again, a messianic prophecy, as foretold through the prophet Isaiah, of what kind of ministry the real Messiah would have, the real Jesus would have. Are you following me? When Jesus said, "Today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing," he's saying, "Listen, I'm standing up. I'm the real deal. I'm the real Messiah. I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm the one you've been waiting for. These are the things that I'm going to do. These are the things I'm going to do as Messiah." But, you know, they're like, if you read Luke's version of this, you know, because you have two different eyewitness accounts of this. You have Luke's version and you have Matthew's version. Luke's version says this, that the city, they marveled at this being Joseph's son, but the rest of them got ticked off. In fact, they took him and tried to take him out to the edge of the city and throw him off the cliff, but he passed through because it wasn't his time. How could this guy be the Messiah? We know this guy. This guy grew up amongst us. This guy is Joseph's son, kind of tongue-in-cheek too, by the way. Remember, Joseph, okay, never mind. You remember the Christmas story. On that day in Nazareth, the real Jesus stood up and he proclaimed who he would be and what he would do as Messiah. And I'll argue this, that many of us have not put our faith in that Jesus. We've put our faith in a different Jesus. Has Jesus changed? Has he changed? His purpose, has it changed? Has his ministry changed? Has his nature changed? I mean, we can keep on going on and on, right? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is God in the flesh, correct? He is God the Son. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus walked this earth, he was God in the flesh. He is immutable. That means he cannot change. He's an unchanging God. So what he proclaimed 2,000 years ago in the synagogue is good for today, yes or no? See, when you start to waver and wonder, that's when you start to receive a watered-down Jesus. See, the real Jesus offers salvation. Everyone say salvation. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is the scripture why we say that, why he's fulfilling this aspect of salvation. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Here's another scripture that might help you understand what he's saying. 2 Corinthians 6:2, through the mouth of Paul. For he says, "In an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." On this Back to Church Sunday, if you haven't already received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, turn from your sins, repent of your sins, put your faith in the living God, trust him as Savior, serve him as Lord, do it today. See, somewhere along the line, some of you may have received a knockoff Jesus, a watered-down Jesus, A Jesus that is an imposter. A Jesus that was taught to you that said, listen, just believe him, trust him, but there was no emphasis on serving him. How can you serve him if he's not Lord? Are you following me? I mean, he's Savior, but he's going to have to be Lord. I've mentioned this before. If you want to look at how many times Jesus is referred to as Savior and how many times he's referred to as Lord, it's astronomical, the difference as Lord and Savior. Is he Savior? Yes, 100%. He saves you so that he can be Lord of your life. Lord over your life. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait for a more convenient day, because that convenient day may never come. No one has promised tomorrow. Jesus says that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. And he's not speaking of people who are financially poor. Are you following me? He's talking about people, because the poor you'll always have among you. It's not who he's referring to. You say, well, how do I know that? Because look what he says in the Beatitudes as well. He comes to preach the gospel to the poor. Mankind without a Savior is poor in spirit. Mankind without a Savior is poor in spirit. Two words that are most commonly used in the Greek to describe the poor, and it's penes, is the first one, and that refers to the working poor, those who are able to work, but they don't earn enough money. They have more week and less dollar. But the only one, they can make it through the day. They may have daily provisions, but that's it. So that's not the word he uses here. He's not talking about the working poor. He's looking at the Greek word, which is tokos, and it's the begging poor. Those who are unable to earn a living because they are physically unable to work. They have a beggar's cup. They have to beg. Someone has to put something in the cup for them to get through the next day. Are you following me? Jesus says this is what we are, poor in spirit. We're like those who have a beggar's cup. We do not have the ability to get through the day ourselves. We have to rely on someone else. Is this making sense to you? This is who the poor in spirit who he's speaking of. Jesus came to preach to those who cannot help themselves. If you could help yourself, you wouldn't need a Savior. But you can't help yourself. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can rescue you from the penalty of your sins. In this physical world, a beggar was someone who was normally lame, someone who was maimed, someone who was crippled, someone who sat on the side who could not work because they were unable physically, and they had to rely against someone putting change in that cup for them, totally incapable of taking care of themselves. There's no way for us to save ourselves, and that's clear in God's word. Only Jesus can pay for the penalty of our sins. Only Jesus. Jesus says that he's come to offer salvation to those who are poor in spirit, those who could not save themselves. How many of you have been there before? You could not save yourselves, and you gave your life to Jesus. Number two, the real Jesus offers healing, but he offers inner healing. Inner healing. See, we get the first part. I think we get the first part. For the most part, we get it. We may have it kind of misconstrued a bit. We understand we need a Savior. I think generally the most of the Christian population and most of those who encounter the gospel get to that point. They understand they need Jesus. Then it goes on beyond salvation, because remember, we either have this view, we got saved and we're going to be saved no matter what, or we believe that we're being saved. Now, you're going to belong to one of those two camps, and I get that. But if you're of the same persuasion as we, as a church are, we believe that we're being saved. We got saved, but we're being saved. We believe that there's more of a ministry to the Messiah than just being saved. There is more to the ministry of the Messiah than just being saved. If not, he would just say, hey, listen, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, to save them, that would be it. But there's more to Jesus and his ministry than salvation. Salvation is not just an act. Salvation is a progression. It's a continued work. All right, Luke 4:18. Look at what he says, what Jesus said in fulfilling the prophet Isaiah. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Brokenhearted is two words. Cardia, meaning the heart, obviously. And then broken, which is centribo, to break, to dash to pieces like pottery to the ground, breaking them in so many pieces that it's virtually impossible to put that pot back together. Have you ever smashed a favorite vase or something like that, something ceramic? And man, you think you got all the pieces, and there's those little tiny slivers that you can never find, except for about a month later when you're walking through on the carpet and you get it stuck in your big toe. Jesus came to heal hearts that are broken. He came to heal hearts that are shattered into pieces. And he's not speaking of the physical heart. He's talking about the emotional seed of our being. Jesus said that he came to heal those who are brokenhearted, so broken that no one else can put them together, emotionally back together, except for a work of the Lord. There are many brokenhearted people in this world. Many brokenhearted people in this world. Have you ever been brokenhearted yourself? Brokenhearted, maybe a death, maybe a tragedy, maybe a relationship, maybe a traumatic experience, brokenhearted. And I'm sure there's been a time in life when you've been shattered emotionally. But listen to me, some of us get to this point where it's never fixed. Jesus can fix that. Are you following me? See, either we believe this or we don't. And see, another Jesus says, well, you know, it starts making excuses, church. Listen, we have to stand on the promises of God. And we don't give up and give in until they come through. Are you following me? Some of us just give up too easy. I believe there are times where God wants to deliver a promise, but we just give up too easy. Listen, if God would always respond to needs, then I've said this before, then there would be no needs in this world. But God responds to faith. If so, we wouldn't be saved by faith, right? Or we're saved by grace through faith. Faith puts us into contact with the promises of God. Has he fixed your broken heart? He's not saying that he can fix it in the next life. He can fix it in the next life. We understand that, right? We understand that when we enter into eternity, things are going to be fixed. But why do we settle for that when he promises to fix things in this life? Because that's what the Messiah said he would do. He would fix the broken heart. He would heal the broken heart. And if we're not, then we're settling for another Jesus. A Jesus that seems capable of doing very little. Look at Luke 4:18. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. The King James says it this way. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised. Have you ever been bruised before? Have you ever hit yourself and had that deep bruise? Maybe even a bone bruise, just deep and just hurts for a long time. An internal wound, so to speak. A hurt on the inside. Now think of that. Jesus is saying a person who is bruised, who is hurt on the inside can be oppressed. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To set at liberty them that are bruised. You ever been bruised before? And have you ever been stuck on that bruise? Remember that bruise? Dwell on that bruise? That bruise has a hold of you? See, Jesus came to heal us of those bruises. Holds those bruises which hold us captive, sometimes oppressing us. And you can be held in bondage by an emotional hurt. I'm afraid this is an area of healing that we give up too easy in. Especially when you're getting the area of emotions and mental areas, we think, that's something different. No, listen, by his stripes we are healed. Verses. You need to remember what I'm preaching here today. Because if we think we're going to go through life without a broken heart, we're fooling ourselves. If you can skate through this life in this world without a broken heart at some point in your life, boy, you are on easy street, Bubba. You can be held in bondage by an emotional hurt. And I'm afraid, again, we give up too easy in this area. And we're deceived because we receive another Jesus. Another Jesus who is powerless to heal the brokenhearted. Powerless to help those who are bruised. To help those who are captive by an inward emotional or mental wound. There are people in the church, this church, just sometimes I want to grab some folks and say, listen, would you just listen to what God is trying to speak to you? Will you just listen to what God is trying to give to you? Will you just take hold of what God has promised you? Would you stop? You've been hurt. I get that. You've been through some stuff, but you can't be living in the past. You can't go and keep going back to the past. You're going to continue. It's like a bruise that you get, and you just keep beating on it. You keep hitting it. We keep going back into the past. If we keep visiting things, that bruise just continues to stay. It doesn't heal correctly. Are you following me? But at the same time, we have to present it to the Lord because he has to heal it. And so there's a tricky line we've got to walk. Are we dwelling it? Or are we giving it to Jesus? And the only way you're going to get healed and set free is if you give it to Jesus. The real Jesus sets people free, where a different Jesus is powerless to set anyone free from true oppression. And you can be a Christian and you can still be oppressed. So when we hear the word oppression, we're not saying possession, we're saying oppression. And Christians, and many of us are, get into times where we are oppressed. And Jesus does not want us oppressed. He wants to set us at liberty, free us. Jesus not only came to save you, but he wants to set us free. How do you know that I'm in bondage? I'll say it this way. When whatever it is in control, no matter how many times you've prayed for freedom. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? But it's the truth. See, Jesus wants to bring liberty to those areas of our lives. If you've been to the altar over and over, and then listen, I'm not telling you to stop going to the altar. I'm not asking you to stop pleading. I'm asking you just to recognize that there's liberty that needs to take place in your life. It has power over you, then you are bound. You're oppressed. But I have good news for you, church. Good news. Jesus can liberate you. Jesus can set you free. Bondages, it don't matter if it's sex, drugs, alcohol, bad attitude, or loose lips, whatever. I mean, he can help you. You got to learn to shut your mouth. You got to learn to keep your parts to yourself. You got to learn to stay out of the liquor aisle. All right, we can keep going on. You got to learn to stay away from those areas. But he can help you. He can empower you. He can equip you. And he can set you free. You know, a lot of times people are in bondage. They want someone to wave a magic wand. And we used to preach that, didn't we? We'll lay hands on you. You will be set free. But listen, again, you can't lay hands on people and give them character. That's impossible. Because if so, boy, we would find someone who has that gift to give us character. And we would line up by the millions. Line up and have someone give us spiritual fruit. It has to be developed. And that comes down to a relationship between the believer and the Lord and the Savior. Amen? A relationship between the Holy Spirit and that person. The real Jesus, number four, offers physical healing. Physical healing. And recovery, Luke 4:18. And recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. Let's look at some complementary verses to go on with that subject of healing. Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's not a trick question. Let me ask you this. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus bore our sicknesses? All right. Do you believe that Jesus bore your sickness? It was a little quieter. And that's what you got to remember. He didn't just bear our sickness. He bore your sickness. Your sickness. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to our sins, might live for righteousness. Boy, that's a verse right there. You just didn't get saved. You are saved and you are made righteous in Christ to live righteous. Boy, we leave that part out in the other gospel that we're preaching today. Jesus saves you and sets you free to live free. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Do you believe that Jesus bore your sins? Then why don't we believe that he also bore our sickness? Which is harder? Which is more difficult? Maybe a sickness, maybe you're enduring a sickness, an illness that's caused you to believe another gospel, another Jesus. A Jesus who can heal other people who just can't heal me. Well, I guess God just wants me sick. No, he doesn't. I mean, it's God's desire that we are healed. By his stripes we're healed. He bore our sickness. Well, then why am I sick? Live by faith, walk by faith. There's God's will. We understand what God's will is, but there's also a timing issue. He doesn't say, I'm going to heal you whenever you want me to, whenever you think it's necessary. There is a timing issue, and that's up to him. Is it his desire to heal you? Absolutely. Maybe a sickness, an enduring illness has caused you to believe another Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, just after Jesus revealed he was Messiah, there was a story where people gathered together, crowds are gathering. There was a man who was paralyzed, bedridden, lying on a mat, unable to get to Jesus. So his friends get on the roof, hoist him up to the roof, make a hole through the roof, lower him down before Jesus. You remember the story? And what does he say to the man first? Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. The man's lying on the mat. He's obviously in physical need. But first, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And as a result, the Pharisees began to talk amongst themselves, saying, who does this man think he is? Who does this guy think he is? Only God can forgive us of sins. Luke 5:22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? This is a good question for you if you struggle in the area of healing. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? Which one is easier for the real Jesus? Which one is easier for the real Jesus? Neither healing or forgiving of sins. Neither are too difficult for him. They're both equally easy for him to do. For the real Jesus, he's saying, listen, I can do both, not one or the other. You don't have to pick or choose. He can save you and he can heal you. Let me ask you this. How did you receive forgiveness of your sins? By faith. By faith, correct? For by grace you have been saved through faith. How do you receive grace? By faith. This is not real hard. How do you think you receive healing? By faith. By faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith giving us access to the grace of God. Faith giving us access to the healing power of the Lord Jesus. That's why an unbeliever can be saved if they have faith, correct? Because every person has a measure of faith. How many unbelievers do you see healed throughout God's Word? A lot. I mean, we can start from the Old Testament. I'm just thinking of Naaman right now. Unbelievers who were healed. Why would that happen? Because often healing is used as a testimony and an open door for the gospel. It shows that this God has sovereign power over sickness and death. How many of you want to see God heal broken bodies? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. Because often healing accompanies salvation. Often they work in tandem with each other. Sometimes healing happens and it gives an opportunity for someone to receive Christ. Healing. We receive healing by faith. Faith gives us access to the grace of God. Faith gives us access to the real Jesus. The real Jesus wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you, set you free. But if you received another Jesus, you're not enjoying these promises. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus stands up and reveals himself as Messiah, he says, I'm the Messiah. I'm going to accomplish these things. This is what I'm going to do. Church, the real Jesus cannot lie. We must ask ourselves this. Have I received the real Jesus, or am I selling for a substitute? Number 5, the real Jesus has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me. Jesus was anointed. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? With power. And who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Thank you. Oh, I paused there and that was perfect. That's what I wanted. All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We know that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know this, that when he left, when he ascended into heaven, he promised that he would baptize us in the Holy Spirit. He promised that he would anoint us with the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to badmouth any churches this morning, but I will say this. There are some churches that will not preach the entire counsel of God's Word, and that's a shame. Because there is a promise, there is a provision in God's Word that he will anoint you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus still baptizes believers in the Holy Spirit. And he will do so as long as we endure this earth and this age. John 1:32, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. Verse 33, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells his disciples after the resurrection and prior to his ascension to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit descended upon the real Jesus. And he said, there is a day coming when I too will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Today is that day. This is the day. Church, you should have an anointing from God upon your life, every person. Some of us think this, the anointing of God just rests upon preachers, evangelists. No, it doesn't. Every one of us in this room that are born again, Jesus wants to anoint you with the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not just for pastors, but boy, you probably heard enough messages that you think that it's just for the man of God behind the pulpit, and it's not. It's for you in your everyday life. You need the anointing of God upon your life. I believe when you have the anointing of God upon your life, you have the favor of God upon your life. Listen, don't you think the favor of God is useful in everyday life? Oh, my goodness, it is. You should have the anointing of God upon your life. And if you settle for a knockoff Jesus, then you won't have the anointing of God upon your life, as you should. I want to go back to the verse I began with, 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul worried about his church. He worried. I mean, these are people, like I said, some of these he's led to the Lord. He's ministered to. He's mentored them. And he's worried. He's worried that some of these people might put up with another gospel, another Jesus. If you say, Pastor, not me. There's no way I can be deceived and receiving another Jesus. Accepting, how about that is the better word? Accepting another Jesus. I want you to stop and just thank him for a moment. Who's Paul writing this letter to? Who is he addressing? Are you better than these folks? Are they better than you? No. The answer is these are people who are born again, people that he pastored, people that he nurtured, people that personally sat under Paul's ministry. They probably said, well, that pastor's not feeding me. I'm sure he faced that same criticism too. These people, he feared for these people that they might believe on another Jesus, receive another Jesus. Some of us, we believe in another Jesus who has a Jesus who has unlimited power, but yet when it comes to our life, it's somehow limited. A Jesus that demonstrates himself in a way that is counter to the way we see in God's Word. See, the real Jesus stood up on that day in the synagogue, and we should experience that Jesus. We should not settle for another Jesus who will never heal us. We should not settle for a Jesus who cannot mend our broken heart. We should not settle for another Jesus that is incapable of setting us free. We should not settle for a Jesus who is powerless to change our daily lives. 2 Timothy 3:5 says this, and I believe this is one of those verses that I think continually point to the day and the age in which we're living. This very subject, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. We can talk about Jesus. We can have a discussion about Jesus. We can agree about things about Jesus. But why aren't we experiencing him daily in our lives? Why aren't we experiencing him in a powerful way? See, that's the most powerful way, is when you experience him, when he changes things in your life. Sometimes we put up with another Jesus as just religion. We settle for religion. We settle for insurance from hell. We settle for different things, but we don't settle for the real thing. And you should not settle for anything less than God's best. Listen, he gave his one and only son to die on the cross for you to receive these blessings in your life. Why settle for anything less? Maybe you're in this room and you're like, man, something's missing. I know something's missing in my life. I know that something is missing, something that just isn't right. I don't understand. I can't put it all together. Maybe, just maybe, listen to me. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm just saying this. Maybe, just maybe, you're settling for something less than God's best. And today, the real Jesus wants to stand up in your life. He wants to be Lord in your life. He wants that intimacy that you should have that comes from the Holy Spirit. A born-again Christian not only believes on Jesus, they experience Jesus. So let me ask you this question. Are you experiencing Jesus? Certain things that will happen. You know, if we live in sin, if we live in rebellion to God, we're not going to sense him as we should. But also, if we have something just missing in our relationship, maybe I want you to think about this. Have I settled for religion? Or have I settled for a real relationship with the Lord Jesus? You know, I agree with what you're saying, Pastor. I agree that there is an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus that is available, but I'm not experiencing it. Listen, I'm no better than you. Then why aren't you experiencing it? Why not? Maybe, just maybe, you've settled for something less than God's best. Jesus that is revealed in God's Word. He does not want you to settle for less than his best. He doesn't want you to settle for a knockoff version of him. And Paul warns that the very people who he ministered to, who he shared Jesus with, may receive and may settle for this knockoff version of Christ. Only the real Jesus can save you, heal you, deliver you, sustain you, transform you. Only the real Jesus can do that. The real Jesus is both Lord and he's Savior. A knockoff Jesus will say, listen, he's a Savior and it's okay. You don't have to worry about the Lord stuff. The real Jesus wants to transform you. And the real Jesus will transform you when he's Lord over your life. The real Jesus is Lord over our lives, and I want you to ask yourself, is Jesus sitting on the throne of your heart? See, a knockoff Jesus will say, hey, listen, I don't have to sit on the throne of your heart. I don't have to be Lord in this area of your life, Lord in this area of your life. But Jesus is a jealous God, yes? He's not going to settle for that. Will you allow the real Jesus to save you this morning? Will you allow the real Jesus to heal your heart this morning? Will you allow the real Jesus to heal your body this morning? Will you allow the real Jesus to bring freedom into your life this morning? Will you allow the real Jesus to refreshingly pour out his spirit upon you this morning? The real Jesus stood up and declared that this is what he would do, this is who we'd be, and this is how we would experience him. Are you experiencing the real Jesus?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and your faith has been encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, where you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.